Hi, everybody. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air.
This is what I call.
So you don't know what she's doing. I wonder how many.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All righty. Okay. All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, WTTTY. I barely use those call numbers, man. I don't even use call numbers. WTTTY, broadcasting live out of the state of Chicago, out of the city of Chicago. Did I say state? I've been off too long. Okay. All righty. It's sunny. I mean, it's sunny. It's bright. It's not spring, but it's summer. But it's hot. Put it that way. It's 95 degrees in the city of Chicago right now. Yesterday I was hearing this, it was going to be 97. I don't think it ever got to 97. I was telling some people it was going to be 97 because that's what I heard. Okay, that's what I heard from the meteorologists or weather people, whatever you want to call them. But anyway, it is very, very nice. It's warm. We were out getting some sunshine this morning. It was barreling down And I was telling a friend of mine, I said, well, hey, wow, this is vitamin D weather. She was out jogging. People were out jogging and stuff, you know. So I was basically taking it easy, but I was doing my part in the exercise department. So, you know, it was coming down this morning, but we were out there getting some vitamin D. And it's still hot. It's going to be 92 tomorrow, at least by all, you know, what they're telling me, what they're saying. It could change. So this is the city of Chicago. It could be, they could say it's going to be 92 tomorrow and wind up being 100. Who knows? Or it's going to be 92 tomorrow and wind up being 62. We just have to wait and see what happens. I mean, when you're living in the city of Chicago, weather changes as you round the corner. You know what I'm saying? It basically you hope for the best. You hope for the not so best, which is 100 degrees or 97 is too hot for anybody. And they're saying things like all over the newscast, you know, watch out for the elderly, check on the elderly, the ill. Those who can't get around well, make sure they are in some sort of air conditioning environment or, you know, things of that nature, which is cool. Never, ever leave kids in a locked car. But you know what? Out of all the warnings that have been going around talking about not leaving a child in a hot car, do you know how many people still figure out how to leave a child or a pet in a burning car? Yeah, I mean, you can say it till you're blue in the face. Do not leave your child locked in a hot car, even if it's to run in the store and come back. But a lot of people do it. They do it. And some people leave their keys in their car. Then they come back, the car is gone. And who can you fault for that? Okay. But anyway, getting back to the weather, it is hot in the city of Chicago. And I'm pretty sure that around Illinois, it's the same thing. And probably around America, it can be surmised as being the same thing also. So if you're out here, if you got to work out here, keep yourself hydrated, drink plenty of water, try to stay in the shade if possible, you know. But if you try not to, they always say, and I say, do not overexert yourself in this type of weather, because you'll do more danger to yourself than you would do things that are great for your body. You know, this heat can really wear you down. I mean, heat stroke, I'm pretty sure a lot of you have heard that. It's real. It's possible. So if you're having over 90 degree weather, take precautions. Do not stay out there too long. The sun will burn you up. It will. We were out there this morning. We didn't get much sun, but we got some sun. We got just enough. Then we got our asses back in the house, okay? Because it was starting to burn. I've seen people who actually tried to cook an egg on the sidewalk when it got this hot. You know what? It didn't work. People out there trying to cook pancakes on the sidewalk when it gets 97 or 98 degrees. And, you know, somehow it just didn't work. We were watching it and with admiration saying, wow, that egg is going to cook. It never did. It just laid there as eggs sometimes do. Anyway, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter and everything. I'm all over the place. And, you know, I think Facebook is the number one social media in the world. There's over a billion people on Facebook. And I'm finding out that it's just ordinary people on Facebook, just ordinary, everyday, grassroots people on Facebook. You know, because a lot of people on Facebook are looking for other people to try to make their lives better for them. And it's a lot of people on Facebook. There's no doubt about it. It's a bunch of folks, and they are just folks, people who are just barely getting by, people who are dreamers, people who want to elevate themselves, which is cool. That's great. Beautiful. Wonderful. All righty. Anyway, follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat. I'm not on Snapchat. Are we on Snapchat? No, we're not on Snapchat yet. And Google and all these other places. And, you know, if you're in the politics on Facebook, it's a mess. I mean, it's a mess. If you're in on politics and some things, it's a mess. It's all about the hate for Donald Trump and his family. I don't hate Donald Trump. I don't hate his family. I just don't think they're the right people for the White House and to be leaders of the world. I just don't think so. And there's no amount of rhetoric is going to change that. Okay. All right. It is 6:11 p.m. in the city of Chicago. We've been off for a few days. Monday, we're off. We're only on 4 days a week, folks. 4 days a week. I can barely say it. Monday through Thursday, 6 o'clock to 7:30 p.m. 6 p.m. to 7:30, an hour and a half, basically. And it's fun. It's great. I love it, especially when I'm in my studio looking out on the street here, the avenue, as people pass me by. Some wave, some don't. So you just have to take it with a grain of salt. You know what I'm saying? Hi there. You just have to take it with a grain of salt and keep doing what you're doing if you love what you're doing. And I think about a week ago or 2 weeks ago, I was doing a radio show and I was talking about store closings. And there are more store closings coming. It is rampant. I mean, it is so phenomenal that these store closings are real. These things are real. I mean, some of the downtown stores are closing. Stores like Lane Bryant, Sears, JCPenney, Staple, you name it. If it's a big box store, even if it's a small fashionable like stores that sell, you know, things for lingerie and women's apparel, these stores are closing. Children's stores, the mom and pop stores. I mean, I'm on the north side of Chicago near Lake Michigan, and there's a few stores that are closing down over here. You know, you would think that the north with pedestrian people traffic into the stores, but it's not, because one of the things I believe for these stores closing, a lot of people say, well, it's the internet, it's Amazon. I just think one of the reasons for some of these store closings are that people are holding on to their cash. It's not that jobs are, let me say this, jobs are out here. They're readily available, but that doesn't make them easy to get. Okay. A lot of jobs are readily available, but they're not that easy to get. There may be an opening at a company that you apply for, then once you go to the interview, you'll find out that you probably are not going to get the job because you're not that much qualified, or they feel that they may reject you and someone else to come along who can actually do the job. But, you know, jobs are out here. They are here, but they are not that easy to access. They're not that easy to go out here and get. You know, and people are wary in their jobs. They're wary in their job status. They're thinking they're going to get fired. We're in an area of the Trumps, president number 45. We're in that era, and people are holding on to their cash. We are in an era where there's people are out to take what you have through scams. Scams and all this kind of thing. People are aware of those things. People are holding on to their cash. And this is another thing that's true. A lot of people aren't saving as much money as they probably should be saving. You know, they're not saving as much because why? For one thing, they don't have it anymore or ever had it at all, maybe. You know, so we are in some trying times. We are in some really, really trying times. We're in the Trump era, and a lot of people are not saving as much money as they should be saving, and some people are holding on to the few pennies that they have, you know, and instead of going out buying new clothes, people are digging in their closets and wearing some of those old materials that they bought months ago or years ago. People are not throwing away their televisions. They're not throwing out their computers. They're not throwing out their furniture. They're holding on to these things. Because there was a time you could walk down the street in any back alley anywhere in the U.S. and you see furniture, you see old televisions, you'd see computers, laptops, you'd see all, you'd see microwave ovens all tossed in the trash and garbage because people have gone out and bought new appliances. They've gone out and bought new furniture, new televisions, brand new televisions, big flat screen, 50-inch flat screen televisions or larger. People are holding on to their old stuff. People are keeping their old laptops. They don't care how old it is. If it's working, they're gonna hold on to it. You know, well, it could be Windows 95. They're gonna hold on to it. If it's XP, if it's working, if it's doing what they wanted to do, why go out and buy a brand new computer with Windows 10? That's probably full of full of technical difficulties, or I can't think of the word. I'm pretty sure I'll think of it. But anyway, people are holding on to their shoes. People aren't going to throw out their shoes anymore because they're going to wear them. You know, people are the bottom line is people are holding on to all their old stuff and not spending money. Maybe because they don't have it, or either they're going to sock it away in the bank or credit union, wherever they're going to put it. And they're just going to keep up with their old stuff. And this is one of the reasons I think because this is one of the causes of some of these store closings around here. And it's true. And I believe that. This is one of the causes of some of these store closing. It is detrimental. I just feel sorry for this, for these stores that are closing up like this, just closing down and leaving some neighborhoods looking like a ghost town because all the stores are gone. But you have to blame that on the residents who are leery and spending cash. That's if they have it. You know, they're leery of spending cash. And it's sad. And more and more and more, every time I turn on the television, read the newspaper, go on the internet, or even just look around in my neighborhood and community, I can see that these things are real. I can see that these things are real, and they will continue to be real because this is the world we're living in. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. My guest is author Lewis Maline. Lies exposed. Something he's going to be talking about, something to that effect if it happens. All right, well, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, making the world a better place one show at a time. At least we're trying. We are trying to make the world a better place. It's not easy. All right, be nice to one another out there. It is so easy. It is so easy to be nice. I mean, so many people out there are rude and snobbish and snotty and just have attitudes up their kazoo, you know, just being pissed off at anything and everything. To me, being attitudish and being obnoxious and just ridiculous is a waste of energy. It's just a waste of energy. That's just what I think. All right. Okay. Identify what is critical today. Get busy, stay focused, and reap the rewards. Remember, you heard that on the George Wilder Jr. Show, not on Bill Maher. Let no one take away your happiness because it's worth fighting for. Okay. I'm going to say that again. Let no one take away your happiness because your happiness is worth fighting for. And remember, the George Wilder Jr. Show. Hate has no home here. Hate has no home here. And it is so nice outside, folks. It is so nice. I feel like getting up from this studio and going outside and just, hey, screaming. Ah, it's great. It's great to be summer. It's great that it's summer. But however, it is not summer. I mean, it's officially, it is still spring. And we're having this 96, 97, 92 degree weather. I mean, this is summer. This is July. This is late July, early August type of weather we're having in the city of Chicago. I'm pretty sure if you were listening to the show a few months ago or a few weeks ago when it was cold and cloudy and damp and rainy and windy, you know, this is quite a contrast to that, you know. Far as I'm concerned, in the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois, it went from winter to summer. You know, spring never found its way here. Far as I'm concerned. Okay. You've been listening to the city of Chicago, but I love it. It's great. But, you know, it's going to be a bit much if this type of weather, you know, lasts into the rest of the weekend, also into next week, then it's going to be a bit much. But for the beginning, I think it's great. I think it's wonderful. And I love being out there in the sunshine and just enjoying the day, the moment, the hour, the people. And it's just astonishing. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, and glad to be back on the air. We've been gone for three days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Those are the days I'm usually off because the show is, we only do the show on 4 days a week, and we think that's enough. I was going to take it to 5 days a week, but somehow I love my Fridays and I love doing the show, but Ashley Judd, we're going to do this. Ashley Judd on the George Wilder, Ashley Judd right. on the George Wilder Jr. Show.
Next on the to-do list, when we take over the DNC.
Oh, Michael.
Ashley.
My name is Ashley Judd.
Ashley Judd is here.
I am a feminist. And I want to say hello to Independence Avenue in the back, all the way down to 17th Street.
Wow.
And I bring you words from Nina Donovan, a 19-year-old in Middle Tennessee, and she has given me the privilege of telling you what she has to say. I am a nasty woman. I'm not as nasty as a man who looks like he bathes in Cheeto dust. A man whose words are a diss track to America. Electoral college sanctioned hate speech contaminating this national anthem. I'm not as nasty as Confederate flags being tattooed across my city. Maybe the South actually is gonna rise again, maybe for some, it never really fell. Blacks are still in shackles and graves just for being black. Slavery has been reinterpreted as the prison system in front of people who see melanin as animal skin. I am not as nasty as a swastika painted on a pride flag. And I didn't know devils could be resurrected, but I feel Hitler in these streets. A mustache traded for a toupee. Nazis renamed the cabinet electroconversion therapy, the new gas chamber, shaming the gay out of America, turning rainbows into suicide notes. I am not as nasty as racism, fraud, conflict of interest, homophobia, sexual assault, transphobia, white supremacy, misogyny, ignorance, white privilege. I'm not as nasty as using little girls like Pokemon before their bodies have even developed. I am not as nasty as your own daughter being your favorite sex symbol. Like your wet dreams infused with your own genes. But yeah, I'm a nasty woman. A loud, vulgar, proud woman. I'm not nasty. like the combo of Trump and Pence being served up to me in my voting booth. I'm nasty like the battles my grandmothers fought to get me into that voting booth. I'm nasty like the fight for wage equality. Scarlett Johansson, why were the female actors paid less than half of what the male actors earned last year? See, even when we do go into higher paying jobs, our wages are still cut with blades sharpened by testosterone. Why is the work of a black woman and a Hispanic woman worth only 63 and 54 cents of a white man's privileged daughter? This is not a feminist myth. This is inequality. So we are not here to be debunked. We are here to be respected. We are here to be nasty. I'm nasty like my blood stains on my bed sheets. We don't actually choose if and when to have our periods. Believe me, if we could, some of us would. We don't like throwing away our favorite pairs of underpants. Tell me, why are pads and Tampax still taxed? Ooh, that was a brand name. Why are tampons and pads still taxed when Viagra and Rogaine are not? Is your erection really more than protecting the sacred, messy part of my womanhood? Is the blood stain on my jeans more embarrassing than the thinning of your hair? I know it is hard.
One of the things about Ashley Judd, folks, she's got a mouth on her. But I love her passion. I love her commitment to what she believes in. And she does not like Donald Trump. That is one thing about Ashley Judd. We're going to have some more of her later on into the show. But anyway, we got a congressman reveals they're still trying to impeach Trump, which I don't think a lot of us don't really think that's going to happen. Yeah, we do think he's an embarrassment to the United States. He knows he's an embarrassment. I think his family. I'm not jumping on these people. I think they're probably in some ways good people, but I don't think they're good enough. They're not actually, they're not the Obamas. Okay. That brings me to the one point. John McCain, I'm reading here in the Huffington Post that John McCain, and it's I've heard it three or four times already, so it has some validity to it. The John McCain has said, and quote, that the Obama administration was a lot better than the now Trump administration. And a lot of people agreed with him on that. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I look at things from the middle, maybe independent, But, you know, I agree with them there, even though I'm not an Obama fan. And I think Obama should come out and do a lot more to try to save this country, to keep it from going down the tubes. But Obama is busy doing something else, probably. But anyway, if I can read this article up here, a lot of people are still trying to draft the articles of impeachment for Trump to throw him out of office. Congressman unveils draft article of impeachment against Trump. And this was just 1 hour ago from the day of this broadcast. So, and the evidence we have the evidence that we have is sufficient to move forward now. Representative Brad Sherman, they are literally and figuratively drawing up impeachment papers against Donald Trump. And they said they've got plenty of evidence for that. And they do. They do. I mean, Donald Trump is still going against the Constitution. And a clause in the Constitution where it says he cannot profit from his business by being the president of the United States, and he's still profiting from it because he doesn't give a damn. But still in all, no matter what Donald Trump does, no matter how much he deserves of impeachment, I don't think the Republicans in the House of Representatives who have the power from the Constitution, who has the power to impeach him, I don't think they're going to do it. I think they are aiding and abetting Trump. They are keeping Trump in office. They are keeping Trump there because they need Trump to get their agenda through. And I just don't see an impeachment of Donald Trump, even though they're talking about it. They've drawn up articles. They're thinking about drawing up articles of impeachment. Unless the House of Representatives is in on it, I don't think it's going to happen. It could, it might, I don't know. But from my standpoint here, if it does happen, I'll be shocked and surprised. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Let's go over here. All right, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead. You're on. Go right ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
Oh, hi. This is Louis Moline calling in.
Yeah, uh-huh. Okay. Louis Moline is my guest for today, ladies and gentlemen. Here he is. Give us a little bit of your bio and tell us about your book, if you have a book. I see you have something called... Lies Exposed?
That's correct. Well, a little bit about me. I started this process of nutrition, health, exercise a little over 40 years ago. It happened when I was in the military. I was out of shape, smoking, typical kind of scenario. I really, really was unhappy with the way I was. And, wanted to do something about it. So I investigated exercising, decided I'd do weightlifting, got into bodybuilding, and along the way there, I started looking into nutrition. And as I got more into weightlifting and things, I found that nutrition is a really important aspect. Sort of looked at it with athletes and bodybuilders and things, and discovered they use lots of supplements and so forth. So I started digging into the supplements and started taking them, but I continued my quest of learning about nutrition and different aspects of it, what they were saying was true, and digging into it and trying to really educate myself. This went on for several years. I finally got a chance to go to med school, and I'm thinking, oh, this is wonderful, because by this time I'd built up a lot of questions about nutrition and what was really going on. And during this time, I noticed there were times when I could afford the supplements and times when I couldn't. And what I was noticing is that the times where I couldn't afford them, I was doing just as well as the times when I could afford them. So that got me thinking about what's the story behind these supplements and things. And I was thinking, man, when I get to med school, this is going to be wonderful because they're going to answer all these questions for me and I'm going to get this all figured out. This is going to be great. Yeah. Reality is, I get to med school, and they don't really teach anything about nutrition. They talk briefly about a few things, but really nothing about nutrition, nothing about exercise, or kind of a physiological fitness, I like to call it. So that was a big disappointment. But after I finished that, I got through my residency, I started digging into, I wanted the answers to my questions, so I started digging into what's going on behind these supplements, what's the real story? Well, what I started discovering was that the supplement promoters were using a lot of research that wasn't related or was just slightly related to what they were promoting. They'd take this research and they would skew it so that it matched what they were trying to sell you. And I noticed a lot of other things come along, like a few years ago. I mean, we've always known about omega-3 fatty acids and a lot of their role in nutrition. But somebody made it popular that omega-3 fatty acids were really important for neural development, brain development,
yeah,
things like this. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm an OBGYN, and so being in that environment, all these supplements started popping up. Oh, yeah, these I need to be taking these omega-3 supplements. But the reality is, we've had these omega-3s all along. There's been a lot of the different foods we eat. And just because somebody discovered a new way that our bodies use omega-3s doesn't mean that we've been deficient all this time. Now all of a sudden, we've got to start supplementing it. But
yeah.
As I started learning more about this, I really discovered that the supplements weren't necessary. What really was necessary was good food. And so about 10 or 12 years ago, I thought, I'm going to write a book. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to debunk these fallacies that are being promoted by these diet companies, by these supplement promoters and things like that. And what I discovered was there were just too many of them. I had a 2 or 3 foot high stack of research piled up on my desk. I couldn't keep up with the stuff that was coming out. So what I finally decided was, look, this is crazy. I can never keep up with this stuff. And besides, what people really need is information educating them on what are the facts, what do you really need to know. So I tried to make some pamphlets and other handout materials. I talked to patients, give materials, but this wasn't really enough. And so it just turned out that but they need, I need to write a book that's going to educate people on the facts. Mm-hmm. What do you really need to know? And then what this information, what are you going to do with it? And the book was more or less aimed at people who are trying to lose weight, because that's a big thing now. And it has been a big thing
that's,
for a long
that's,
time.
That's a big profit maker for these folks. I mean, if they're going to go after somebody, they're going to go after someone who is obese, you know, because those people are desperately trying. Some of those people are desperately trying to lose weight. So that's a good market for them to go after.
Yeah, no, and you're right, that and the exercise industry. So I sort of tailored the book a little bit towards obesity, but that's why, because everybody needs to good nutrition.
But, agree.
The obese people, they're obese for a reason, and I discuss a lot of that in my book. And then once you know all these things, okay, you know that the supplement, the diet industry are just promoting fallacies. You sort of teach the nutritional things that people need to know, the physiological things that people need to know. And then I get into, why are people fat? And the irony is, you know, medicine's been digging into this for a long time. Well, medicine's been digging into this for a long time. And you would think that they would kind of get the hint about what's really going on. But I think now they've kind of given up on, well, it must not be that people are just eating too much, because, you know, this all this information by the NIH has been put out there, the National Institute of Health, CDC, and, you know, all the people put out information about eating healthy and stuff. But people just don't pay any attention to that. They get the information, but it's like the pamphlets that I was putting out. It gives you a little teaser of information, but not enough to really educate you and helps you use that information.
Yeah,
so it was pretty useless, you know, their efforts. But what this kind of comes down to, I see a lot of information now being published that is saying, oh, well, if you're obese, it's not your fault, it's your genetics. Yeah, there's differences in genetics, you know, how we utilize our food. There are people who can eat more than others and not get fat, but people who are skinny, if you find somebody who's really skinny and really eats a lot of food, they have a genetic defect, because we are programmed to hang on to any excess calories. You know, in times of famine, if you didn't have enough fat, you would die. So our bodies are programmed to hang on to any excess calories we eat. And so if you don't hang on to those calories, you've got a problem. But it's just this continual bombardment of our bodies with excess calories, but also really poor nutrition. And nutrition is a bigger issue than just being overweight.
You get some people out here who's you got some people out here that, you know, they are, they love food. They're going to eat. They love food. And you have to watch what you put in your mouth. I mean, that's a fact. You just can't just stuff any old thing down into your mouth. You know, I mean, you're gonna, it's gonna make you sick.
Exactly.
You know.
But people develop habits in their eating style, Just like people who smoke, they have a habit of smoking. People who drink or drug abusers or whoever it is, they have a habit of doing whatever they're doing. People eat habitually. The foods that they like to eat, the amount that they like to eat, when they like to eat, that's all habitual. And the problem with these dieting programs, some of them are probably not too bad on the whole, but the dieting programs are aimed at this anxiety of these obese people to want to lose weight. Oh, man, I'm 30 pounds overweight. I want to get out there on the beach in my swimsuit next month. How am I going to get this 30 pounds off me? So they take into consideration this sense of urgency by these people to get this weight off. And so that leaves the door wide open for all kinds of, of things. One thing I noticed about
all kinds of go ahead.
I can say one thing I noticed about the diet industry is dieting is not new. I don't know how much people know this, but even back in the 1700s, there was a doctor in England who wrote some notes on how to lose weight and diet. But he was very obese, and he had his own problems. So he decided he would fix his own problems, and he developed a way to eat that worked for him. He lost his weight. He felt better. His gout went away. And so he publishes his memos that this is the way to eat, you know, if you want to be healthy. Well, that was his way of doing it. That doesn't work for everybody. And throughout the years, there's been lots of people writing their diet plans. Oh, this is the way you should eat. This is going to make everybody healthy. Well, you know, there are literally thousands of different ways to eat and be healthy and eat appropriately for your needs. There isn't any one diet program that's going to work for very many people. So now it's kind of boiled down to this. Yeah, go ahead.
Now, I was going to say, wouldn't you agree that the dieting industry is out to get rich or to profit on people's inability to eat nutritionally?
Yeah. Well, they're out to take advantage of any way they can, of any of this urgency people have to lose weight. And the supplement industry has done this too. And we can kind of blame our government for that, because prior to 1994, if you wanted to come up with a supplement, it had to run through the CDC, or not CDC, but the FDA, just like any pharmaceutical drug would. So it was pretty rigorous. You had to have some good information. You had to really prove that there was a benefit. So before that, you saw, you know, there's a lot of vitamin supplements and things that come out. There's some protein supplements and a few things that people have looked through the system, but not too many. Well, in 94, Congress passed an act that says, well, you know, as long as these supplements are just food items, and we'll just treat them as though they're just food products. And that just opened the door wide up. And unless you're introducing some chemicals that have not been tested before, or you're making these wild, wild claims about what your product's going to do to people, the FDA just leaves you alone. And so the exploded after that.
I wanted to say a lot of these supplements that you buy at the supermarket, the Walgreens, this stuff is totally garbage, you know, but a lot of people fall for it. Like you say, the best thing for you, where you can get your nutritional needs are from fruits, vegetables, things that grow. Would you agree with that? Naturally, grow naturally.
Exactly. There's years ago, and it's been, you know, more than 50 years now, nutritionists kind of divided up the food groups into five major food groups, which are cereal, grains, vegetable group, fruits, and then your protein and meat group, and dairy. And the reason they broke them up like that is because those foods all have nutritional commonality. So if you eat from those five food groups, you're going to get all the nutrition your body needs and then some. And then there's,
and you won't need any supplements.
Exactly. Then there's a relational amount. You know, you don't need to eat 5 pounds of meat a day. And so they put the foods in a pyramid. And they said, well, you know, the bottom of the pyramid, we're going to put cereal grains. And back when they developed this, people still worked hard at their jobs and out in farms and fields and whatever. And they needed the extra calories and stuff from cereal grains. So they put that on the bottom. And then they put vegetables. Vegetables and fruits are almost interchangeable. Fruits have a little more a lot more calories probably than most vegetables, just because of sugar content.
Exactly.
If you go by the strictest definition of fruits, the fruits come from the flower of the plant. With that, pumpkins, squash, tomatoes, peas, eggplant, all those are fruits. But if you look at them nutritionally, culinary-wise, the things that people like to cook with, they kind of separate those into groups, and they pretty much fall into what people are used to calling vegetables and fruits. But the biggest distinction is the fruits have a lot of sugar in them. So you look at a peach or a pear or something like that compared to carrots or celery or even potatoes
something.
A lot of sugar in the fruit. So people nutritionally just divided the fruits, the ones that have a large sugar content are ones that we normally recognize as fruit, and the other ones as vegetables. But they put these foods in these pyramids to show you proportionally how you should eat these things to get the nutritional value out of them that you need. Now, the new pyramid will switch around the vegetables and the cereal grains. Because people are more sedentary, at least they don't use as many calories, and so they don't need the calories from the cereal grain group, so they put vegetables on the bottom. Now, there's a wide range in calories and vegetables, too. If you take a piece of lettuce versus a potato, there's a huge amount of difference in the calories. You're putting vegetables on the bottom. You can pick and choose the low-calorie vegetables or the higher-calorie vegetables, whatever your needs are. But you can get all of your nutritional needs from the low-calorie vegetables. Mm-hmm. So by doing this, you can really adjust your calories, but eat proportionally in these food groups so that you're getting the nutrition you need. And there's no way on my blog. I've done a couple of things where I've gone through this. Particularly one was the high protein diets that the athletes think they need to be in. They need to take all these protein supplements. So I took a typical diet, and I just threw some random stuff in there, just easy, a very simple menu. And there was way more protein than even a bodybuilder would need just by eating that diet.
Yeah.
And there's no need to the supplement. And so people are taking advantage of these. Just the ignorance of people don't know the nutritional things they need to know, and therefore they're deceived by all of these advertisements and things.
Yeah, I agree. If people don't know, and some people, they don't even want to know, and those who do know, they just completely ignore it. So you may be able to help some people on that, and some people you probably won't be able to help because they don't want to be helped. They like eating what they eat. And I want to say Arthur Lewis Malign on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Tell us a little bit, just a little bit about your book.
Okay. Like I said, the book was really kind of written to aim more at people trying to lose weight, but it's really applicable to everybody. The first part of the book, I point out where these fallacies come from. The diets, the supplements and things like, why are they fallacies? What are these people trying to do? And then once you understand that, then you need to know something about nutrition. You can't drive your car without knowing something about it. So you can't really provide the nutrition to your body without knowing something. It's not a lot of details, not a lot of science or anything. It's something anybody can understand. It's just a few things you need to understand.
Right, simple,
And then, I talked about a little bit of physiology. There's just a few physical facts that you need to know. And my favorite one is that your body can't make something out of nothing. So you hear people all the time saying, I just don't eat anything, but I'm still gaining weight. Well, your body didn't make that weight from nothing. You had to supply it with the calories necessary to put that weight on. That's one of the most important physiological principles you need.
All right, we're running out of time. Tell everybody where they can go get your book, the title of the book, and give us a place where we can go and find and read your blog and, try to learn more about this.
Okay. All right. Yes. Name of the book is Lies Exposed, The Truth About Dieting, Supplements, Weight Loss, and Exercise. It's available right now on Amazon. It's available in paperback or in the electronic formats. It's I have a website. It's www.healthfiascoreveal.com. And it's just like it sounds, health, H-E-A-L-T-H, F-I-A-S-C-O, R-E-V-E-A-L-E-D.com. And my blog is right attached to that. I have a Facebook page. Facebook is Health Fiasco Revealed. And Twitter is Dr. Moline Health.
Yeah.
And so you can access those. But if you get to my site, I have links to Facebook and Twitter for my site. You can also email me. There's email access there if anybody has any specific questions that they would like answered or any particular product that they would like me to comment on.
Okay, great. Louis Moline. Can't even say it, on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Make sure you pick up his book, Lies Exposed. Thanks for being on the show. You were great. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
No problem. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We will be right back.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of Chicago, and we are helping to make the world a better place, one show at a time. Thank you for listening. Thank you for finding the show, downloading the show, and just having a great time. Here we go.
Ashley Judd, stupid fucking slut. You can't sue someone for calling them a cunt. If you can't handle the internet, fuck off, whore. I wish Ashley Judd would die a horrible death. She is the absolute worst. Ashley Judd, you're the reason women shouldn't vote. Twisted is such a bad movie, I don't even want to rape it. Whatever you do, don't tell Ashley Judd. She'll die alone with a dried-out vagina. If I had to fuck an older woman, oh my God, I would fuck the shit out of Ashley Judd. That bitch is hot AF. the unforgivable shit I would do to her. Online misogyny is a global gender rights tragedy, and it is imperative that it ends. Girls and women's voices and our allies' voices are constrained in ways that are personally, economically, professionally, and politically damaged. And when we curb abuse, we will expand freedom. I am a Kentucky basketball fan, so on a fine March day last year, I was doing one of the things I do best. I was cheering for my Wildcats. The daffodils were blooming, but the referees were not blowing the whistle when I was telling them to. Funny, they're very friendly to me before the opening tip, but they really ignore me during the game. Three of my players were bleeding, so I did the next best thing. I tweeted. It is routine for me to be treated in the ways I've already described to you. It happens to me every single day on social media platforms such as Twitter and Facebook. Since I joined Twitter in 2011, misogyny and misogynists have amply demonstrated they will dog my every step. My spirituality, my faith, being a hillbilly, I can say that, you can't, all of it is fair game. And I have responded to this with various strategies. I've tried engaging people. This one guy was sending me hyper-sexual, nasty stuff, and there was a girl in his avatar, and I wrote him back and said, "Is that your daughter? I feel a lot of fear that you may think about and talk to women this way." And he surprised me by saying, "You know what? You're right. I apologize. Sometimes people want to be held accountable." This one guy was musing to I don't know who, that maybe I was the definition of a cunt. I was married to a Scot for 14 years, so I said, cunt means many different things in different countries. But I'm pretty sure you epitomize the global standard of a dick. I've tried to rise above it. I've tried to get in the trenches, but mostly I would scroll through these social media platforms with one eye partially closed, trying not to see it, but you can't make a cucumber out of a pickle. What is seen goes in. It's traumatic. And I was always secretly hoping in some part of me that what was being said to me and about me wasn't true. Because even I, an avowed, self-declared feminist who worships at the altar of Gloria, internalized the patriarchy. This is really critical. Patriarchy is not boys and men. It is a system in which we all participate, including me. On that particular day, for some reason, that particular tweet after the basketball game triggered something called a cyber mob, this vitriolic, global outpouring of the most heinous hate speech, death threats, rape threats. And don't you know, when I was sitting at home alone in my nightgown, I got a phone call, and it was my beloved former husband, and he said on a voicemail, "Loved one, what is happening to you is not okay." And there was something about him taking a stand for me that night that allowed me to take a stand for myself, and I started to write. I started to write about sharing the fact that I'm a survivor of all forms of sexual abuse, including three rapes, and the hate speech I get in response to that. These are just some of the comments posted to news outlets. Being told I'm a snitch is really fun. Thank you, Jesus. May your grace and mercy shine. So I wrote this feminist op-ed. It is entitled, "Forget Your Teen. It is your online gender violence toward girls and women that can kiss my righteous ass." And And I did that alone, and I published it alone, because my chief advisor said, please don't. The rain of retaliatory garbage that is inevitable, I fear for you. But I trust girls, and I trust women, and I trust our allies. It was published. It went viral. It proves that every single day, online misogyny is a phenomenon endured by us all over the world. And when it is intersectional, it is worse. Sexual orientation, gender identity, race, ethnicity, religion, you name it, it amplifies the violence endured by girls and women, and for our younger girls, it is worse. It's clearly traumatizing. Our mental health, our emotional well-being are so gravely affected because the threat of violence is experienced neurobiologically as violence. The cortisol shoots up, the limbic system gets fired, we lose productivity at work. And let's talk about work. Our ability to work is constrained. Online searches of women applying for jobs reveal nude pictures of them, false allegations they have STDs, their addresses indicating that they are available for sex, with real examples of people showing up at this house for said sex. Our ability to go to school is impaired. 96% of all postings of sexual images in our young people, girls, our boys, are 2 to 3 times more likely non-consensually to share images. And I want to say a word about revenge porn. Part of what came out of this tweet was my getting connected with allies and other activists who are fighting for a safe and free internet. We started something called the Speech Project, Curbing Abuse, Expanding Freedom. And that website provides a critical forum because there is no global legal thing to help us figure this out. But we do provide on that website a standardized list of definitions because it's hard to attack a behavior in the right way if we're not all sharing a definition of what that behavior is. And I learned that revenge porn is often dangerously misapplied. It is the non-consensual sharing of an image used tactically to shame and humiliate a girl or woman that attempts to pornographize us. Our natural sexuality is, I don't know about yours, pretty gorgeous and wonderful. And my expressing it does not pornography make. So I have all these resources that I'm keenly aware so many people in the world do not. I was able to start the Speech Project with colleagues. I can often get a social media company's attention. I have a wonderful visit to Facebook HQ coming up. Hasn't helped the idiotic reporting standards yet. I actually pay someone to scrub my social media feeds, attempting to spare my brain the daily iterations of the trauma of hate speech. And guess what? I get hate speech for that. Oh, you live in an echo chamber. Well, guess what? Having someone post a photograph of me with my mouth open saying they can't wait to come on my face, I have a right to set that boundary. And this distinction between virtual and real is specious because guess what? That actually happened to me once when I was a child. And so that tweet brought up that trauma and I had to do work on that. But you know what we do? We take all of this hate speech and we disaggregate it and we code it and we give that data so that we understand the intersectionality of it. You know, when I get porn, when it's about political affiliation, when it's about age, when it's about all of it. We're going to win this fight. There are a lot of solutions. Thank goodness. I'm going to offer just a few. And of course, I challenge you to create and contribute your own. Number one, we have to start with digital media literacy. And clearly, it must have a gendered lens. Kids, schools, caregivers, parents, it's essential. Two.
This is great.
Shall we talk about our friends in tech? Said with dignity and respect, the sexism in your workplaces must end. Edge, The global standard for gender equality is the minimum standard. And guess what? Silicon Valley, if L'Oreal in India, in the Philippines, in Brazil, and in Russia can do it, you can too. Enough excuses. Only when women have critical mass in every department at your companies, including building platforms from the ground up, will the conversations about priorities and solutions change. And more love for my friends in tech, profiteering off misogyny and video games must end. I'm so tired of hearing you talk to me at cocktail parties, like you did a couple weeks ago in Aspen, about how deplorable hashtag Gamergate was when you're still making billions of dollars off games that maim and dump women for sport. Basta, as the Italians would say. Enough. Our friends in law enforcement have much to do because we've seen that online violence is an extension of in-person violence. In our country, more girls and women have been murdered by their intimate partners than died on 9/11 and have died since in Afghanistan and Iraq combined. And it's not cool to say that, but it is true. We care so much geopolitically about what men are doing over there to women over there. In 2015, 72,828 women used intimate partner violence services in this country. That is not counting the girls and women and boys who needed them. Law enforcement must be empowered with up-to-date internet technology, the devices, and an understanding of these platforms, how they work. The police wanted to be helpful when Amanda Hess called about the death threat she was getting on Twitter, but they couldn't really when they said, "What's Twitter?" Our legislators must write and pass astute legislation that reflects today's technology and our notions of free and hate speech.
She's a great actress.
In New York recently, the like law could not be applied to a perpetrator because the crimes must have been committed, even if it was anonymous, they must have been committed by telephone, in mail, by telegraph. The language must be technologically neutral. So apparently, I've got a pretty bold voice. So let's talk about our friends, white men. You have a role to play and a choice to make. You can do something or you can do nothing. We're cool in this room, but when this goes out, everyone will say, "Oh my God, she's a reverse racist." That quote was said by a white man, Robert Morris, chairperson, PricewaterhouseCooper. He asked me to include it in my talk. We need to grow support lines and help groups so victims can help each other when their lives and finances have been derailed. We must, as individuals, disrupt gender violence as it is happening. 92% of young people, 29 and under, witness it. 72% of us have witnessed it. We must have the courage and urgency to practice stopping it as it is unfolding. And lastly, believe her. Believe her.
All right, Ashley Judd on the George Wilder Jr. Show. All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. That was Ashley Judd. I mean, she is a powerhouse. Before the music, that was Ashley Judd. And she is a powerhouse actress. I think the lady should have probably won 3 or 4 Oscars, actually. She's a much better speaker, motivating speaker, coach, or someone out there helping young girls who are abused online. And it's just great. It's beautiful. I think it's wonderful. And that was Ashley Judd. She's a powerful speaker. I didn't know that until a couple of months ago when I heard her speak at the Women's March in January against Donald Trump. But she is a powerhouse, and I can see why she's a great actress, too. I don't think she gets the right part she needs to be getting in order for her to receive an Oscar or an Emmy or a Tony. I don't think she gets the right part. I think she's totally, totally available to do great parts, to get a Oscar or something, because she's just wonderful, and I love her to death, and I sympathize with her for some of the things that she has gone through and some of the things women have gone through dealing with abuse, domestic abuse, online, internet abuse. It happens, and we got a bunch of crazies out there, you know, so thank God for Ashley Judd and people like her. And myself, I'm an advocate against domestic violence. I've always have been. I think it just stinks. I think it stinks. But as I sit here in my studio, domestic violence is happening right at this moment. Some woman is getting hurt. You know, some guy is pounding on some woman, either verbally or physically or both. You know, it happens. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I want to thank my guest, Louis Malin, for being on the show. His book, True Lies Exposed, and all that good stuff. If you're just tuning in, you can podcast the show for later, and you can get all that contact information that he left us on the show. Okay, Lies Exposed. He's talking about the nutritional industry. Folks, believe me, food will kill you. Okay. You have, like, as we talked about, food will kill you. You have to watch what you put in your mouth. You just can't go there and put anything in your mouth. 4 or 5 Big Macs, you're going to have a heart attack. It's going to kill you. You have to watch what you put in your mouth. Fruits, I agree with him. You know what? When I started, because I used to hear a lot about eat 5 or 6 servings of fruit each day, eat 5 and 6 of servings of vegetables each day, drink 8 glasses of water each day. I didn't know that fruit, all my life, people have told me that fruit is good for you. Fruit's great for you. Fruit is wonderful. Eat fruit, eat fruit, eat fruit. Fruit can give you diabetes. Fruit can make you fat, because as we were talking about earlier, me and my guest, it's loaded with sugar, something you don't want to have if you are a diabetic, because you're trying to get rid of all the sugar in your system and you're just pouring more in when you're eating food. That's one of the things about anything. Fruit is just like some other things that you can eat. A lot of things have great nutritional value, but then again, it also has a bunch of things that are negative that's going into your body. You know, you can buy a quart of milk. You know, drink milk every day. Milk is great, vitamin D, but it's also fattening if you don't know what you're doing. And I love milk. My family loves milk, but we have to do it with moderation. And that's the key to everything, moderation. But I was never a nutritional buff. I was never aware of a lot of things. I thought that eating fruit every day was, wow, you know, I'm going to be this and that is going to be great. But I was feeling, as so many of us are, we eating fruit, bananas, apples, you name it, grapes, you name it. It's sugar. It's a sugar factory, you know. But some, there's some things about fruits that's nutritional for you. There's other things about it, including the sugar, that may not be your best friend, especially if you, especially in the long run on things. So I would, if I were you, I would go check Louis Malign out. Malign. He written a book, and I think it's great. I'm gonna check it out too, you know, because this show is all about making the world a better place. And if we can do it nutritionally, we will do it nutritionally. You know, people have to watch what they put in their mouths, because what you put in your mouths is going to tell on you later on in life. You know, you just can't stuff anything down in your mouth. I tell my son that all the time, but he ignores me. But in the long run, he'll thank me, maybe. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. It is, what time is it? 7:18. We've got about 11, 12 more minutes left into the show. It's been fun. It's been great. And this show, like I said before, it's all about making the world a better place. And my guest was Louis Malign. And I'm going to say this. I always say this on my show. Be nice to one another out there. Be nice. Don't be mean, ornery, and snotty, and just rude. Just because you can be rude, because you don't have, because you're jealous of what somebody else might have that you don't have. I mean, this is crazy. You're young, you're beautiful, you're talented. Go out there and conquer the world, you know, conquer the world. We need a new president. Maybe you can try running for president, as far as I'm concerned. Okay, be nice to one another out there. It is so easy to be nice. And also identify what is critical today. Get busy, stay focused, and reap all the rewards, you know. Let no one take away your happiness. It is worth fighting for. Of course it is. You know, whatever makes you happy and someone tries to take it from you, they feel that you doesn't deserve it. You should not be happy because you don't deserve it. You tell those people to go straight to hell. And hate has no place here. Hate has no home here. You know, I mean, if you're one of those people who are prejudiced and you're racist, then do not listen to the show. Do not call into the show. I don't want to talk to you. I understand people with different views than I have. I understand we can disagree on this. We can disagree on politics. We can disagree on anything. But just don't bring the hate here, you know, because that's what the show is about. It's about debate. Or just letting you have your say, telling your story, you know. And that's all it's about, you know, and making the world a better place if we can. It's getting tougher every day. But we're gonna hang in there, and we're going to try and help to make the world a better place. But I'm going to need you. You're going to need yourself. The world's going to need you. The only people that can make the world a better place are you and those around you. You can't, if you sit back and do nothing and say and waiting for someone else to fight your battles for you, nothing's going to get done. You have to learn how to fight your own battles. There are so many people out here sitting around the living room, on the couch, in their room, in their bed, saying this is awful, that's awful, this is awful, waiting for some prince to come along to make their lives better. It's not going to happen. It is not going to happen. Don't tell me anything about your God, your Jesus. That's fine. And Danny, I respect everybody's religion, but let's be real about it. You're going to have to get out there and fight your own battles. Fight your own battles, because that's what it's all about. Don't sit around waiting for somebody to do something for you that you can do for yourself. Anything, you can do anything for yourself. You know, do it for yourself. Protect your family. Protect your protect what you own and what you want. Protect your happiness. Fight for it. It doesn't matter whether you are male or female. Fight for your country. Fight for your city. Fight for your community. Fight for your neighborhood. Get out there and be the first one to do something about the corruption in Washington, D.C., in Congress, the corruption in, you know, in your neck of the woods, in your state, in your city, in your town, in your community. Do something about it. You know, even if you just make yourself seen, make yourself heard, especially at the vote in 2018 at the voting booth, okay? Do something. I mean, just don't sit there and just constantly post it on Facebook or Twitter, your displeasure with what's going on. Get out there and do something. But I'm going to tell you something. Posting on Facebook and Twitter can move a lot of people, but it may not move the right kinds of people. So you want to do something for your country, do something, get out there and make yourself known, make yourself heard. Because like I said, there are 320 million people in the United States. Compare that to those knuckleheads in Congress. We have the power. We have the power. Some knuckleheads. Not everybody in Congress is a knucklehead. But if you're a Republican, more likely you are probably in Congress, more likely you're probably a knucklehead because you're aiding and abetting somebody that should be impeached. All right, you've been listening to the show. We got about, 6 more minutes left into the show. It's earlier I alluded on congressmen unveiled draft articles of impeachment against Trump. This is true. They are, and plus he's being sued. I believe 2 states are suing him. I think one is the District of Columbia, and I believe the other one is Maryland, if I'm not mistaken, okay? A Democratic congressman has drafted an article of impeachment against Donald Trump and plans to file his legislation in the coming days, all right? But I, like I said before, I don't think it's going to go nowhere because the Republicans control Congress, and they have the authority to impeach, not this Democratic congressman. I mean, this is a noble effort, but I think it's going to fall on deaf ears. In a Monday letter to all House members, Representative Brad Sherman, Democrat of California, lays out why he thinks there is enough evidence to begin impeachment proceedings against Donald Trump and provides a copy of his proposed article of impeachment. It sounds great. It sounds good, but I don't think it's going to fly because, like I've just said, the Republicans in Congress, they control Washington. The rich people control Washington. I don't think this is going to fly, but it should probably light a fire under Donald Trump and some of the people around him. Kellyanne Conway, she's awful. Sean Spicer, another liar, and a lot of people around him that are just despicable. We need to get that White House back. We need to get it back in the hands of somebody who's presidential, somebody who knows what he's doing, somebody who doesn't embarrass us overseas, somebody who's not a pathological liar. This guy is such a pathological, he lies just when you look at him. All right. Okay, it's 7:26 straight up. It is still hot, steamy, humid in the city of Chicago. I hope it's great where you are. I'm not saying this is great weather. I'm just saying that, hey, wow, it's about time, you know, but if it continues, we're going to suffer big time. So if you're in the city of Chicago and you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, make sure you check on the elderly, check on the on your children, the kids, the babies, the infants. Make sure everybody is safe and in an air conditioner, under an air conditioner, or you have a great, great oscillating fan that throws out great air. A lot of people are always talking about air conditioning, but you got some great fans out there, you know, oscillating fans that throw out great air also. But after a while, fans start to throw out hot air. So, you know, but there's some great fans out there. People have fans. They can afford air conditioning. But anyway, everybody out there, you know, if you're in this type of heat, make sure you stay safe. Stay safe. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show.
bombs begin to fall. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a claw. Heaven help us all.
Once again, I want to say, if it's very, very hot where you are, make sure that you check on the elderly, check on the ill, the children, the infants, check on everybody around you. All right. Bye-bye, everybody. Thanks for listening.